Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25, and my, won't that be wonderful when we see Jesus, when we see Christ? And oh, what a moment that will be. Deuteronomy chapter 25, and I want to bring to you an important message here this morning, one that I've entitled Double Standards. And I want you to notice in Deuteronomy 25 these verses where it says in verse 13, "Thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse or different measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." We live in a world of double standards. Webster's defines the term double standards as a rule or a principle that is unfairly applied. Basically, there is a standard for you that is different from the standard for me, which leads to hypocrisy. Because hypocrisy is when we pretend to be something that we are not, claiming to be one thing but still something different. And you know, in our world, I would tell you that just an observation, it seems like a lot of people are able to accept this, they compartmentalize. And by that I mean that they sort of box one part and then they accept another part, and they're somehow able to live with themselves in spite of the fact, and I would even hasten and say, sadly, this is also true in the Christian world, that the Christian world is also full of people with double standards and hypocrisy. One of the ways that I think this falls very easily, understandably, is in the area of what you are on Sunday versus what you are the rest of the week. You know, there really shouldn't be any difference. You should be the same throughout the week as you are on Sunday. You should be the same no matter where you are, whether you are in a church building or whether you are at work or you're at home. You know, the truth is we need to be careful about what do we expect from others and what do we consider from ourselves. Is it the same or do we somehow separate the two? You know, take for instance the story that I came across about a man and his girlfriend, that they went to a fast food restaurant. You'd know the restaurant well, with chicken, and they happened to get a bucket full of chicken, and as they left to go on their picnic, they all of a sudden opened up the bucket at the picnic place, only to discover that there was a mistake. You see, the cashier had mistakenly given them the bucket of the cash receipts for the day. And instead of having chicken, all of a sudden they found just this bucket filled with dollar bills. There was over $800 in that bucket. And of course, you know, they immediately, they got the bucket and they went back and went to the owner of the restaurant and said, "Listen, I think this belongs to you." And the owner was just simply thankful but amazed, said, "You know, you guys are the most honest people I've ever met." He said, "I'll tell you what," he said, "I'm going to contact the TV news and tell them about this story." And the man got beat red and he said, no, don't do that. He said, "You see, the girl that I'm with, she's married to another man. We're basically having an affair." Now, how can you be honest in one area and so dishonest in another? And yet that's the way that people sometimes are. That's a double standard that is hypocritical. Now, you might agree that that is wrong, but you might even, you know, hasten and say, "Well, come on, Pastor Clear, you got to slack off on this. After all, nobody's perfect. Nobody is perfect." And I would grant you that that is true, that nobody every second of every day will live perfectly. Nobody is sinless. But can I also sort of throw it back this way? You should try. You should still try. See, I think that we have to be careful in the day and age in which we live not to allow ourselves to keep lowering the standard, keep lowering the bar. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 5, because Jesus even said something about this in his Sermon on the Mount as Jesus addressed his followers. And understand, the Sermon on the Mount was the foundation for discipleship for those who belong to the kingdom of God, for those who pledge allegiance to Jesus, if he is their king, those who want to live under his rule, under his reign, to live this way. Notice he starts out with the certain attitudes. And by the way, everything that he says in this chapter here, it is really hard to live this way. For instance, he says, if somebody hits you on the one cheek, turn the other to him also. If somebody asks you to go a mile, go two. If somebody asks for your one coat, you give them the second. He said, love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you, those who curse you, you bless. Now, all of these are difficult to try and actually accomplish and do. But I want you to notice the last verse, which, you know, Jesus, when he starts summing all of this up, because this seems very strange, it seems like a pretty high standard, doesn't it? But notice what he says in verse number 48. And by the way, I'd prefer actually this morning, occasionally I like to have us actually read the Bible together. I think it would be appropriate at this time here for us to engage and actually in unison read this verse. So if you have your Bible open to Matthew 5 and verse 48, let's read this scripture together. Ready? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's pretty plain. He says your goal is to be perfect. Now here's what happens. We fall short. We all do. So we start lowering the expectation. Now, I don't know if any of you were involved in track, but one of the track and field events is the hurdles. And I don't know if you knew this, but the hurdles are actually standardized. And there's good reasons, whether it's high school or whether it's college, whether it's, you know, national, international competition. It's standardized because you don't want to just simply let anybody define the height of the hurdle. Typically, if you are involved in most of them, the high hurdles will be approximately 42 inches high. Basically, you have to jump over 3.5 feet. And you have to get over this hurdle that is elevated above the base of the ground. And you have to hurdle over that thing. Now, listen, somebody says, well, I think that's too high. I think I'm going to lower it a couple of inches. And then comes along somebody else and says, that's even too high. I think I'm going to lower it a little bit further. You know, if everybody successively lowers the standard, eventually here you're going to get to the point where that high hurdle is 2 inches tall, which is really not a hurdle at all. But isn't that exactly the way that we have seen the lowering of standards to where they are not even standards at all? Now, I want you to know, by the way, that God does not change His standard. His standard is holiness. His standard is unchanging. Why? Because God never changes. Jesus Christ, you ever read that verse? Jesus said, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God would ever change His standard of holiness, God would cease to be God. And by the way, you wouldn't want that. Because if He ceased to be God, then there's no salvation, there's no eternity. And therefore, God requires us to try and lift ourselves up to His standard. Peter even captured this when in his epistle, the epistle of 1 Peter, he quoted a verse that is also found in the books of Moses, Leviticus chapter 11. Peter said, and I quote 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. In other words, don't lower the standard God has set. We should never change His standards, and yet we find that oftentimes people do. By the way, considering holiness, you realize, you know, this is actually, it comes out theologically in the areas of salvation. Salvation is actually three parts. There's a past, a present, and a future. And every one of them have a standard of holiness that is unchanged. When an individual trusts Christ as Savior, holiness is in the following three steps. First of all, justification. Now, this is the past. Basically, justification means we are holy. At the moment we trust Christ as Savior, there's a declaration. We are placed in the holiness because Jesus imputes His righteousness on our behalf. Therefore, you and I are declared to be holy. It's a one-time act. We are justified. But then there's also sanctification. And sanctification is a process lifelong. It's a process by which we are becoming holy. This is the part that is hard. This is the part that we are trying to be like Christ. By the way, don't change Christ. Christ is changeless. Therefore, we should always try and step up. I love the acronym, by the way. The acronym, many times there were buttons that had these letters on them, PBP, G-I-N-F-W-M-Y. What does it stand for? Please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. You know, we are in a process. We are changing. We are changing, hopefully, to be more like Christ. And it ought to be, by the way, that as you get more into the Word and the Word gets into you, that you are becoming more Christ-like. You are becoming holy. There's nobody here. You know, you might say, well, I'm a holy man. I'm a holy woman. You might be at this moment here, but I guarantee you Monday hits and all of a sudden, you know, you get in that traffic jam. All of a sudden something doesn't work out at the job. Now, all of a sudden the kids are screaming. You know, the wife is screaming. You know, everybody's upset. And all of a sudden you are going to lose that holiness. It is temporary. Therefore, you have to constantly work at this thing. Sanctification, we are becoming holy. But then that leads to, thirdly, glorification. We will one day be perfectly holy. When is that? That is when we are with Jesus. You know, I can declare to you today that Brother Don is holy. He has a holiness that is now perfect. He has left his mortal body. He is now with his Savior. He's now with the Lord in heaven. That there's no more sin. There's no more problems. There's no more aches and pains. There's nothing at all. He is now perfect. He is glorified. Now, we're talking here this morning about having a double standard. But when you consider especially our verses that we considered this morning, we have to understand what was it like in the Bible days. And standards in biblical days, they used weights and measures. And those weights and measures, the problem was that there was a lot of inconsistency. For instance, in the business world, merchants, they would oftentimes sell their merchandise and they would use one of these scales. But they would always alter it to their benefit. If they were selling, they would have a light weight because they would basically put the amount of fabric or the amount of product in one side, and then they'd put a little weight over on that side there, so it would barely, you know, equate to anything at all. And that's what they did. But whenever they were, you know, on the other hand, whenever they were buying, they would have some big weight, so they'd get more in exchange. And it was always tilted in their favor. They did this in many different ways. For instance, they did this even with the coins that they exchanged. Did you know that in the days, the Bible days, that basically the way that they operated many times with coins is these coins would oftentimes be valued specifically in exchange for the amount of metal that was there. Metals, basically the coins of the Bible days, oftentimes were real gold, real silver. They had real value. But what happened was this, that people would come along and they would shave the coin. This is, by the way, why you have embedded ridges on your coins today. So you can't shave it. So, you know, that we figured out if somebody was shaving the coin. But back in the days when you had gold and silver being exchanged, they'd shave a little bit here and a little bit there. And after all of a sudden, they'd have actually accumulated some extra wealth. So therefore, you don't change the coin. You don't change the scale. You don't change any of that. Now, in Deuteronomy 25, God weighed in on this, and he weighed in on it quite strongly. In verse number 13, he says, "Thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse or different weights, a great one and a small one." Now, he's speaking here about different standards at work. Different standards when you buy, when you sell, it should be the same. He said, now, this is specific to Israel. He said, you should not do that. You should be the same with everybody. Don't try and cheat somebody out. Don't try and get the better of somebody. He says, I want you to be different. I want you to be honest. I want you to be fair. No double standards. But then verse number 14, he says, thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small. Now, most Bible teachers happen to think that Moses is simply here repeating. However, I would point out to you that he says here in thine house. I think that verse number 13 is speaking to us at work, but now all of a sudden he comes into the home. This is very practical, and I'll tell you why. Because something important to note is that, Mom and Dad, one of the secrets of you in your home and being successful is don't have double standards. Don't have double standards in your home. How about it, Mom and Dad? How about the rules that you set in your home? Can I tell you, it's wise for you to live by the same rules that you expect of the children. It's wise for you to have the same. By the way, I think two things are necessary when it comes to rules. Number one, rules have to be clearly defined. Do you understand what the rule is? One of the things that Valerie and I did with our kids when we were raising them is we would constantly go over what was expected. You can't penalize, you can't judge if it's not clearly understood. Do you understand? Many times we would have them repeat after me. Now, what did we say? What did we expect? Rules have to be clearly defined. But then secondly, they need to be equally applied. There have to be clear boundaries that are set. But then you have to make sure that you expect the same of everybody. And let me give you an example. You know, for instance, mom and dad, if you are going to punish your son or your daughter, let's say that Johnny all of a sudden loses his temper. And that's bad. That's wrong. And you say, Johnny, you're in trouble. You lost your temper. Now let me ask you a question. How about when you lose your temper? How about when all of a sudden you get angry? How about when you get frustrated? Do you apply the same standard to yourself that you apply to your children? By the way, I've noticed, Brother Sean, it's gotten awfully quiet here. Because that tells me this is real. This is real. You know, I love the story 7 years ago about an Ohio judge that illustrates here consistency of applying the law. His name is Rocky Koss, and Rocky Koss is a county judge in Highland County, Ohio. And in his courtroom, he's still living, still judging, but in his courtroom, he expects three things. Number one, you come well-dressed. Number two, you conduct yourself in an honorable way. But number three, you must silence your cell phone. One of the worst things in the world to do in Judge Koss's room, courtroom, is to have your cell phone going off. Well, guess what? 7 years ago, some nitwit, all of a sudden their phone starts blaring and blaring, bagpipers playing Scotland the Brave, and everybody said, somebody's in trouble, and somebody was. Guess who? The judge. It was his own phone he had forgotten to silence. So you know what he did? Embarrassed, he apologized. And then he said, I find myself in contempt of my court. And then he reached in his pocket and pulled out his billfold and paid a fine. You know what? I like that because I think that's right. Listen, you do the same thing that your children do and your children get in trouble for it, you should be in trouble as well. And by the way, I would tell you that would save a lot of frustration oftentimes as kids are growing up. And as all of a sudden, you know, they're getting ready to get out on their own and they're wondering, why is it that there's such inconsistencies in the home? Mom and Dad, we need to work on that. We need to work at that. By the way, don't just simply stop at the home. The same is true in the church. The problem in ancient Israel prior to Israel's judgment was one of double standards, and sometimes that even crept into the temple, into the worship. Take, for instance, the story of the sons of Eli. The sons of Eli, their names were Hophni and Phinehas. Their father was Eli. Eli was the priest, and at this time here, the Ark of the Covenant resided in Shiloh, and he was basically the main preacher of the country. And yet his sons, their sins were numerous. And while they were supposed to be representing a holy God, they were gluttonous. They just couldn't stop helping themselves to eat. They were shamelessly immoral. The Bible mentions about the women that were supposed to be dedicated to helping at the temple there. Instead, they were carrying on with these sons. In addition, they were extorting the people, whatever they wanted. They demanded it right then and there, and they were insubordinate. Their father commanded them, but they just didn't pay any ear. They didn't pay attention. These were the sons of Eli. Therefore, the Bible concludes in 1 Samuel 2:17, wherefore the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord. Why? For men abhor the offering of the Lord. You know why? Because of double standards. Because of double standards. One of the things we can say quite honestly that we have been disappointed with in recent years is during this era that we have been dealing with COVID is to have politicians. It is one thing, by the way, for a politician to make a decision, but politicians who demanded that you have to mask up, but then we see them in public not masking up. That's double standards. And by the way, that is not good leadership. That is not good leadership. You know, one of the things that I've tried here in our church to instill is a balance between respecting your home, respecting the priesthood of the believer, respecting individual soul liberty while still trying to have high standards represented in our church. And one of the ways that I've tried to do that is by example. For instance, my wife and I believe the Bible teaches that basically the pastor needs to uphold the highest of standards. We find this in 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, I believe as well the deacons, that those are Bible officers. The pastors are to be examples, the leaders are to be examples, but I think it's important that we also are careful about requiring that everybody else has to live by my high standard. And for instance, I would tell you that there's one area, or actually several areas I could point out to you. I'll just mention one here this morning. One area that I actually hold myself to a higher standard than you. And it's in the area of what I talk about. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but if you're ever in a conversation and Pastor Clear is quiet, it's because I let you talk when I don't think it would be wise for me to comment. When words are weighty, when opinions can sometimes become a stumbling block, I choose sometimes to hold my tongue. Now, by the way, I don't demand that you do the same thing. That's up to you. And oftentimes, in a busy, in a crowded environment, many times I will just simply be a little bit quieter. And the reason is because I don't think it's wise that I talk as much as maybe other people. Opinions. You know, it's important to understand the first requirement of a bishop or a pastor in 1 Timothy 3:2. The Bible says a bishop then must be blameless. What does that mean? Does that mean without sin? If that's the case, you got a problem because you got to get rid of your pastor. There's no pastor who is sinless. There's no pastor who is beyond any conscious effort of sin. We all have sin. We all have. It doesn't mean sinless, but it simply means a testimony that cannot be thrown stones at. A testimony that is high. A testimony, in other words, it's important that we not lower standards. I believe that one of the things that's so important is that you and I, that we remind ourselves that we are representing God at all times. Let the world change, but the church needs to stay with God. You know, the world is constantly changing. You see that, by the way, even in some of the churches, the denominational churches right now, wrestling with, for instance, same-sex marriage or homosexual clergy, different situations like that. They're wrestling with that, and they're changing, they're adopting, they're kind of shifting, and all sorts of things are happening. It's becoming a problem, but the problem is God never changes. He's never changed. He's not changing. You see that in a time where people are fleeing churches, and many times they're going to churches that are entertainment only in their style of ministry. They are going to ministries, and I would suggest ministries without guardrails. That is why the most important thing is that you be in a church that is clearly teaching and trying to apply the Word of God. A Bible-preaching church. Back to Deuteronomy 25, God's Word says this in verse 15, "But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have." Why? "That thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, for all that do such things and all that do righteousness." In other words, all that live by double standards, they are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now let me be even a little bit more practical. Because three things that I want us to consider. Three things that I want to suggest that we do. Number one, examine ourselves. You know, this matter of standards, I think it's about time that we quit looking at everybody else. Just look at yourself. It's one of the things that, by the way, whenever I've been in a situation, I can remember, for instance, when I was back in seminary and I had an opportunity to work a job, and I couldn't work the job if I was going to violate my standards that I had set for myself. And so when I went to that job interview, I explained to the personnel director, "I'm sorry, for me, I cannot do this, and here's why. For me." quit making everybody else have to live by your standards. You need to have standards for yourself, but you need to make sure that you don't all of a sudden start having a judging eye towards everybody, that this should be personal. Examine yourself. Secondly, follow God. And then third, seek to match your attitudes and actions with Him. Now, I'll tell you why this is important. It's important because we live in a world that has constantly got their eye on what other people think. Folks, it doesn't matter what other people think. There's only one person that matters, and that is the Lord. That is why the Lord is the one person you need to keep your eyes on. And therefore, when it comes to convictions, it's one of the problems we oftentimes face. Parents raising their children. They raise their children. And your children, by the way, they may be very, you know, subservient, obedient, as long as they are under your roof. But the day will come, and sometimes it comes even before they leave the confines of your house, where they are going to have to make up their own mind concerning how to live. I wish, by the way, that they would choose right. But you know, I oftentimes see as a reaction, because there's been double standards, they choose no standards at all. And that's a problem. Get your eyes on the Lord. You know, consider the tragedy that befell the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, the elite show planes that were gracing the skies. They were practicing one July in 1982, and it was a perfect day to practice. The entire team of four Northrop T-38 Talons, they were in perfect formation, but on that day, they flew their jets straight into the ground. Why? Why this tragedy? Why all four planes crashing? I'll tell you why. Because they were following their leader. You say, what? Yeah, in order for them to conduct their maneuvers, in order for them to be in sync, in order for them to have their formations, they have one plane, one leader that they follow. But it happened on that day, their leader, Major Norm Lowry III, had a problem. His stick malfunctioned. It got stuck. And when it got stuck, he was flying straight into the ground. And when the other pilots realized it, it was too late. Now, can I just simply tell you, there's one leader who will never fly into the ground, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one who will never disappoint, and that is my Savior. There's one. You know, I thought it was so interesting this morning, Brother Sean, as you were teaching your Sunday school class, and Brother McKinney was teaching about having joy in serving Jesus, and you hit upon the key. The key is relationship. You got to have a relationship, but I'll tell you who it's important. It's most important you have a relationship with the Lord. Because if your relationship is just simply with people, people will disappoint eventually. But God will never. Jesus never. Therefore, you and I, we need to be careful about double standards. Make sure your standards are consistent. I'm not, by the way, encouraging us to lower standards. I'm saying, let's just get our eyes on the Lord. And if you, by the way, you look singularly at God and say, this is how God's character is, that's the character I'm going to try and match. Here's how God is with us, and I'm going to try and be just like that. You will never go wrong. Let you and I be careful about double standards. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to have Valerie come up, and I'm going to ask her to play the song this morning, Stand Up for Jesus. Stand Up for Jesus is a classic hymn, but there's some words within the song that I think are important for us to hear. Because within there's no lowering of standards. No, on the other hand, actually the songwriter says, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Let's lift up. Let's try and lift up. But let's lift up not to artificial standards, not to the standards of man, but let's lift up to Jesus, the banner of the cross. Let's